So today God will be giving us a special word for the year. The title of today's sermon is what? Awake, O Sleeper. Can we say that together? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'd like someone to help me read verse 1 to 6. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Yes? Anyone like to read? Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Who's ready? Yes. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6.
Revelation chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen that little remains, for even what is left is almost death. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believe at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet, there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches.
Amen. Amen. Anyone with ears to hear, what they need to do? They must listen. Anyone with ears to hear, they must listen. Some people have ears. Yeah? But they don't have ears to hear. Hallelujah. Say, I have ears to hear. Therefore, I listen. Amen. You see, it's a big difference. Hallelujah. Sometimes you may even be in church, but you're not listening to what God is saying to you, because you have your own agenda. You have your own plan. Amen. But you have to listen if you want to make the most of your life. He said, the only person, you see, when Jesus said, he said, I will not erase their names. Yeah? It means it is possible. Otherwise, why will he say that? The person whose name will not be erased from the book of life. When we talk about the book of life, we're talking about spiritual life. We're talking about eternal life. He's the overcomer. The person who overcomes, his name will not be erased. Amen? To guarantee that name will not be erased, you have to overcome. Hallelujah. The fact that you were born again 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is no guarantee. Hallelujah. Because he said, if they don't repent and wake up, he said it will come to them like a thief, like a thief. You understand? It will come to them unexpectedly, like a thief. Now, when you hear that, it means they will suffer loss. Amen? He says, when someone says, I will come to you and expect like a thief, it means they will suffer loss. And that's why he's saying, repent. And he who overcomes, I will not blot out their names. Say to yourself, say, my name will not be blotted out. Okay, I want to do some teaching so that you can understand. So, the question is this. It's a general one. So you can apply this physically. What is the opposite of sleeping? You say someone is sleeping. What is the opposite of sleeping? So again, you don't need to know the Bible, you know, to answer this. It's a general understanding. So if I told you are sleeping, what's the opposite? Sorry? Let's get in. Yes?
Awake,
yes. I take that. There are more words. I have like six in my list. It may be more. Give me words that describe the opposite of sleeping.
Alert,
yes. Someone who is alert is not sleeping. You know, you can be awake, but not alert. Yes. Opposite of sleeping.
Yes.
Yes, give me that to me.
Active,
yes. Is in my list. Amen. You can be awake, but not active. You are still sleeping. Your eyes are open, but you are not active. Yeah? Yes, I want more.
Vigilant.
Vigilant, yes. Oh, another word for vigilant is watching. Yeah? Imagine you're in security. You know, you're working at security, whatever type of security, there are different types of security. You're there, but you're not vigilant. You will miss stuff. Yeah? Yes? Let's take more words.
Conscience.
Conscious. I know what you're trying to say. You know? So, sometimes you can be doing something, but your heart is not there. You're not doing conscientiously. Yeah? You're not dealing with the fullness of your attention. Okay? So technically, you're sleeping. Any other word for the opposite of sleeping? Opposite of sleeping? You can try. Any other one? I think we covered most of it. Okay? Now you can see why I'm asking you that question. So the opposite of sleeping, we talk about awake, active, alert. I have another word there. Vibrant. Vigilant. I remember when I was in university, you know, you have this thing you call student union. Yeah? Anybody know about student union? So they have this anthem. I'm not going to sing the anthem. But I remember part of the anthem of my university was conscious vigilant. Conscious and what? Vigilant. That's always awake. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone who is not sleeping is awake, is active, vibrant, alert, conscious, vigilant, watching. Hallelujah. Active. I like the word active. Hallelujah. If you are, so let's apply it to your Christian life. As a Christian, as a believer, ask yourself the question. Am I sleeping? Or am I awake? You can measure it. You can ask yourself. We know how to, you can find ways to say, look, if you are sleeping. Because if you are sleeping, then the message applies. Listen to someone. Smile at them. Turn to someone. Smile at them. Ask them, say, are you awake? Or are you sleeping? Spiritually. Hallelujah. The discussions I'm having here today are spiritual. Amen? Am I awake? Or am I sleeping? Am I sleeping spiritually? And what are the risks of sleeping? But before we go there, let's take it before them and ask another question, which is, what are the signs that a believer is sleeping? I have like 10 things on my list. And I tell you, it could be much more. Give me some signs that we say, like, you see this and say, this believer is sleeping. I'm talking about, when I say believer, I'm talking about a believer in Christ. Yeah? You see something, say, this believer is sleeping. Yes, let's have some signs. You will tell me the answers. Yes?
Can I give two?
Yes, you can. She says she can. She give two. Go on.
Not growing spiritually. So they are not growing.
Not growing.
They still like.
They are just the same year after year after year. Nothing has changed. Yeah. Yes.
And also, you look at their life and you feel like they are cursed because. Nothing is working correctly.
Nothing is working, and they're not growing. I think it's same. It's the same answer. I'll just put it in the same answer. Okay. Because when you're growing, there'll be change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not growing. Everything is just static, dormant. You know, dormant is another word for sleeping anyway. Yeah? Yes, I take that, sister.
Unfruitful?
Not bearing fruit. Yes, I still think it's connected. Yeah, I think it's connected. You know, when you are, because if you are growing spiritually, you will bear fruit. The more you grow spiritually, the more fruit you will bear. But let's analyze that. If you're not bearing fruit, no, you know what that means? It means no other person, no other life is coming to know God, to know Jesus because of you. You've never brought anybody to church in your life. You've never preached to anybody. You've never told somebody about what Jesus did in your life. And through you, they either came to know God or their relationship with God, you know, got better. You know, God has never used you to deliver somebody from, you know, their affliction or their bondage. You're not bearing fruit. You may be working and making money, but you're not bearing fruit. Okay? So it's a sign that you're sleeping. Yes? And you then I'll go. Yes?
Can I?
Okay.
Prayerlessness
is a classical, sign of sleeping. Because you know, remember when Jesus was going to go to the cross, then he called 3 disciples and said, you know, Garden of Gethsemane. And then, you know, for them to watch with him, and then he went in to pray and he came back. What were they doing? So in that scenario, the opposite of sleeping is being prayerful. Prayerlessness is a typical sign of a believer sleeping. Okay? Now, when I say prayerlessness, what we are saying that it doesn't mean that when they are in need, they don't still pray. God help me. But they don't spend time in prayer. They don't spend time in prayer and communion with God. Yes? Another one?
Lack of commitment or devotion.
Okay? No. So devotion is still overlap with prayer, you know. So in devotion, you have Bible study and prayer. You understand? But commitment is a different word, which is, you know, commitment is related to your service to God. So no commitment. No, they are not committed to God. Because actually, when you are committed to God, you will see it in service. Yes, that's okay. Yes, this way. Signs that a believer is sleeping.
They don't put God first.
Yes, so no priority to God.
Priority.
The way he said is as though there's more coming. Yeah? Or is that all?
They always give excuses when it concerns things of God.
Yes, it's still the same point. But let's expand it. So when a believer is sleeping, God is not number one priority in everything they do. So when a believer is awake, when a believer is alert, everything they do, they think God is a consideration. You know, if they're going to sign up to something, they're going to make a decision, if they're going to fix their work hours, if they're going to fix anything, they're considering, how does it affect, you know, my relationship with God? But when a believer is sleeping, they don't put God first. They don't put God first. They put him. The other issues are the main consideration: comfort, pleasure, money, whatever. But not God. They still love God, but they don't put him first. Yes, I take that. Yes, let's. I'm coming. Let's take more.
Lack of trust in God.
So, yeah, I will still link it. But, you know, it's a valid point. Because a lack of trust in God will eventually make you not to put God first. The only reason why you put God first is because you are trusting Him. You know, can I put that? Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct. So you can see actually when you're not putting God first, it's a proof of a lack of trust in God. You just figure out that you now know how to do it and you can do it better. And the only way you are in trouble, you call God. Can you see? So they are connected. Yes, thank you for that. I'm coming. Let me go right.
Sleeping.
Say that again.
Sleeping.
Okay, so yeah, so can you just express it before I misunderstand?
Okay, sleeping in church.
Amen. So the question was signs that the believer is sleeping spiritually. Then the answer, one of the answers is sleeping. Yeah, in church. Okay, but let me express it. But you know, though it may look funny, but there are some points there. When you are sleeping too much physically, yeah, it can also lead to sleeping what? Spiritually. When you're supposed to pray, what are you doing? You understand? When you're supposed to listen to the word of God, what are you doing? You understand? I'll call that laziness. There's sometimes people sleep in church, but they are not sleeping spiritually. Their body is just tired. For example, when someone has gone for a night shift, you know, their body can be tired. That's why I try to keep the sermon interactive. You know? So that is not sleeping spiritually. Their body is just tired. But when it's all about sleeping, you didn't go for night shift. But you're still sleepy. You understand? Something's wrong somewhere. So sometimes you need to pray for deliverance from sleep. Although I actually feel that in this part of the world, people are suffering more from sleeplessness. They work so hard and they stay up late. They're not getting enough sleep. Yeah, but anyway, I take the point. Yes, this way. Oh, I take care of me first, then you.
Lack of fellowship.
Lack of fellowship, absolutely right. It's in my list. If you are not in fellowship, that believer is sleeping. It doesn't matter who they are. You know, I told you, I said, as a pastor, I have the responsibility to give you the word of God. He said, write to the angel of the church in Sardis. When he wants to pass the message, he must pass it through the head. I have responsibility from towards God. And I will give account, you know, that I tell you the truth that will help your life, help you grow. When you are not in fellowship, it doesn't matter how we rationalize it, you are sleeping spiritually. The reason is this: God has designed it such that your spiritual life will be fed through fellowship. So if you are not being fed, yeah, the world will be having greater impact on your life. You will still love God. Don't misunderstand me. Yeah? It's just that if you're not in fellowship, yeah, the world is always seeking to influence you anyway, whether you like it or not. If you do nothing about it, you're under influence of the world. Fellowship is where you are fortified, yeah, to face the influence of the world. Otherwise, you will start thinking like the world and you will start acting like the world. It's fellowship that, in fellowship, your mind is renewed. Your spirit is fed and you are encouraged, you are empowered to face the world. So without fellowship, I guarantee you, a believer not in fellowship will sleep. Guaranteed. Yes? Signs that a believer is sleeping.
Well, when you start to be offended by the things of God.
Yes. So can you just expand on that? So you start to be offended by things of God. Give an example. So we can understand you.
Yeah, when you start to say things like, oh, how can a loving God send people to hell? Questioning the justice, the spirit of God, which is clearly in the Bible.
So when a believer start doubting the goodness of God, they have spiritual problem. When you are talking to someone, you start saying, oh, how can God do this? How can God? And when believers start blaming God, doubting God, you know, they are spiritually sick. Don't just go out. Start praying for them. They are ready for them to start talking like that. They are having a problem, a crisis of faith. Yeah? And that connects back to the trust. So lack of sleeping, a lack of trust is sleeping. Because when there is lack of trust, there will be doubting and all that. There are other things, you know. When believers, things that the Bible has already said, that this is the right way. And then believers start saying, no, 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 you don't have to follow that. Why should you do that? They are sleeping. When believers start rationalizing the word of God and saying it's not so, they are what? They're sleeping. Don't join them. Pray for them. Yes. Can I take one or two more answers? And move on. Yes. Okay. Okay, you know, okay, three more answers. And then move on.
When a believer stops hearing from God.
Okay, when a believer stops hearing from God. Let's say it this way. So that stops means that they were hearing before. Yes. Now, if a believer has not been hearing at all, it's different. Yeah? Maybe they just need to grow. Because actually, as you grow more, you should hear more. Okay? As you know God better, you will hear God better. But you were hearing from God before. Whichever way you were hearing. Whether it's from the conscience, still small voice, very clearly you hear God. And that's why, by the way, that's where how most of us will ever hear from God in most of our lives. It's here. It's in here. God will speak to you that gentle voice. Do this, don't do that. Go there, don't go there. You know, stop this. Don't do that. Do that. Yeah? But some other people, they get visions and dreams. But whichever way you've been hearing from God before, when it starts reducing and going down, you are sleeping. Because it connects back to the word of being alert, being sensitive. So that's right. Yes? Let's take two more and then we move on. Signs that a believer is sleeping. So I hope you're getting these answers. I hope you're checking your life. It's like a medical checkup. This is a spiritual checkup. You know? It's a medical checkup is not bad. So I don't believe in it. But it's not bad. Because in a medical checkup, you can find out what is wrong. Yeah? I'm talking about physically. If you go for a medical checkup, you can find out what is wrong. But spiritually, I don't like you. You know, because you don't need to look for a problem that has not presented itself. Can I just explain that? So, medical checkup is good. Yeah? Physically speaking, because you can find out what is wrong. But spiritually speaking, you need to be careful. If there's a problem presenting, go and check it up. Why there's no problem? Why do you are looking for a problem? Amen? You are healthy, you feel normal, you still want to do medical checkup. What are you looking for? Amen? Use your faith. Hallelujah. If you feel well, you feel healthy, use your faith and believe that everything is working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's a problem, you can investigate it. Okay? So I hope you understand me. I'm not against medicine. My wife is a doctor. Go on, step over.
Distracted.
Distracted?
Yes.
Yes. Can you break that down?
Yeah, distracted, but like giving priority more to the job or
priority.
Personal achievement or distracted by the things of the world.
Yes.
You said.
I take that. Again, it connects back to what someone said before about priority. You know, any time you are not giving priority to God, you are distracted. That's the meaning. Anytime in your life that God is not the priority in your choices and your decisions, yeah, you are being distracted. And technically, you are not alert. Because actually, God wants to be the number one priority in your life. Every other thing you do, yeah, should connect back to God. You don't understand? That's why he said, when you go born again, he said, you give your life to Christ. It's a good statement. You see, when you get born again, two things happen. You receive Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And then you also give him your life. So it should be what? Your number one priority. Now, there are many good things in this world, you know, that you can like. There are things I like. But I'm telling you that I'm willing to give up any good thing if it becomes an issue with my relationship with God. And that's where God wants you to be. Is any time a good thing, yeah, becomes so important to you that you can put God behind, it becomes a tool that the devil can use to compromise you. A good thing. Even things as good as your children. or your spouse, or your parents, or your siblings. I'm saying these are good things. But still, God first. Because all those things he gave them to you anyway. And he's the best person to help you know how to take good care of them anyway. Nobody loves your children more than God. Let me just explain that. You don't love your children more than God loves them. You need to believe that. You don't love your wife more than God loves them. You don't love your husband more than God loves them. You don't love your parents more than God loves them. You don't love your brother and your sister more than God loves them. That's why when you put God first, he's not taking anything away from you. He's going to help you live your life the right way for his glory. Amen? So when you hold too tightly, you will be distracted spiritually. One more. Oh. I'm not coming back. Yes?
Absence of love and compassion and being emotionally led instead of being spiritually led.
Emotionally led rather than spiritually. Yes, I take that. Let me just break that down. You see, when you find that somebody, they don't have compassion. They are dying spiritually. There are three words that are connected. I want you to understand. This is the way it works. Firstly, someone starts sleeping spiritually. Then they start dying spiritually. And finally, they are dead spiritually. He said, you have the reputation that you are alive, but actually, you are dead. They were alive before. Hello? Just like physically, someone can be born and they could die. Now, somebody who is alive physically but is sick, that means they are not functioning. Yeah? They are not okay, isn't it? Now, if that sickness is not treated, what happens? Someone is terribly sick and there's no treatment, no improvement. They are getting worse. So, technically, what's happening there? They are dying. That's another stage. Then, if there's no improvement, no treatment, nothing, what happens eventually? They die. The same thing spiritually. Someone is sick. That sickness is what we call sleeping. Because actually, for a believer to be sleeping is not a normal thing. It's sickness. It's spiritual sickness. Then, no treatment, no improvement, nothing. They start dying spiritually. The worst thing about it is that they still think they are okay. You understand? Because they got born again. They know some Bible verses. They come to church once in a while. But they don't know that actually you just have a reputation of being alive. You're actually what? Dying. So let me just emphasize that point. When somebody doesn't have compassion, yeah, they're cold, mean. If you meet a believer who is cold and mean, they are sleeping. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter if they can quote the Bible. It doesn't matter if they've been 20 years in church. They are cold and mean, no compassion. Yeah? It's like their heart is hardened. They are sleeping. Yes? In fact, I'll be very surprised if they knew. It's a good question. He said, what if they don't know that they are cold and mean? I'll be very surprised if they what? If they knew. Do you get my point? When people start sleeping, they are not alert. They are not sensitive. They don't know. Hallelujah. But it's a sure sign. Any other question on these points raised? Any question? That was a good one. Any other one? I'm happy to take any question. Amen. I just want you to preach you a sermon. I want you to understand. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Try to finish in 15 minutes. Let me give you some of my list. This one is funny. Alcoholism. When a believer start drinking alcohol, probably they were not drinking it before. There are two categories, those who have always drank, but some people they didn't. But as things got better, do you get? Is that clear? Things got better. They got some money now. Yeah? Nice TV. Nice car. Nice living room. So they just relax. You understand? Because basically, I always tell people, I say, you will not drink alcohol and then hold the prayer session after. Have you found somebody, after they finish downloading alcohol, they now had a prayer session? Have you ever seen it? Do you understand? Alcohol is a drug that is there to give you pleasure. But you never finish it and then start casting out a demon or praying. Are you with me? So when alcohol begins to dominate the life of a believer, they are sleeping. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Be filled with the Spirit. They don't go together. Praise the Lord. Let me give another one. Gluttony. When the believers start eating too much, every time, food. Food has a way of reducing your spiritual sensitivity. I'm not saying you don't misunderstand. We all need to eat. I'm saying that when food dominates you, yeah, you heat to the kill. Do you understand? It does you spiritually. Because when you are overloaded with food, yeah, you just want to relax, isn't it? And sleep. Does it make sense? Remember, I did not say that you shouldn't eat. Because I remember then Sister Shelley would tell my wife not to cook for me. Amen. Unforgiveness is another proof, but connected to lack of compassion. When you can't forgive, you are sleeping. You have a big spiritual problem. Whether you know it or not. When you are really spiritual alive, you must forgive. He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive what? It's a normal part of the Christian life. That's what I was thinking of on Friday. I said, you don't pray to God and say, God, please help me forgive. What you are really praying to God is that God should heal your pain. Hello? I know you might have gone through a serious disappointment and pain. You can pray that God should heal it. But that forgiveness, you must do it. It's your own job, not God's job. Let me just explain that because I know that people don't understand this part. See, when someone wrongs you, there are two problems. There's a spiritual problem and there's an emotional problem. The emotional problem that they've wronged you, you have the pain. It's like a wound. Yeah? That wound needs to be healed. But forgiveness is not an emotional thing. Forgiveness is a spiritual thing. Just like you're being born again is not an emotional thing. Whether you cried the day you got born again or you were just smiling, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you receive Jesus into your heart. Amen? When someone wrongs you, you don't even need to negotiate it till the next day. He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So he said, Father, this is what Sister Esther did. I'll give you an example. Okay. You know? And it hurt me very bad. But I forgive her in the name of Jesus. You know, forgiveness is believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean she'll be my best friend tomorrow. Please understand me. I will forgive her. Meaning that I will no longer hold it against her spiritually. It doesn't mean I'll feel good towards her the next day, automatically. It may take time to heal the wound. But all that time, I'm confessing that I forgive her. All the time. Every day I remember that wound. I say, in the name of Jesus, I go to the Supreme Court of the universe to make a legal confession. It's a legal statement. So that my prayers will not be hindered. Hallelujah. So that my prayers will not be what? Hindered. Say, Father, I forgive Esther. I release her. But so someone has said, oh, does it mean that they will never get paid back for what they do? It doesn't matter. You say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You know what the Bible says? When he says, I will repay, he says, don't repay. He says, I will repay, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, listen. Before, when I was younger, I used to think repay means just God will repay them. So, of course, God will repay the people that do evil with their evil. But that's not the only part of repay. He will also repay you that does the good with good. Amen. Hallelujah. He will repay. So, for example, someone is treating me bad and I'm treating them right. It's like I'm a fool. I'm being cheated. I'm being manipulated. Yeah? But he said, he will repay me. My good deed, he will repay me if I do it unto the Lord. He will repay me for my good deed. Better than they could repay me. And then he will repay them too. If I believe. Because if there are many times we don't believe, we hinder God from working. Hallelujah. He said the Pharisees, he said, when you want to give your gifts, you take a trumpet, you blow it. And then you give and everybody they clap for you. That's the Pharisees. He said, you already have your reward. What did God say? He said that he's not going to give them any further reward for their giving. It doesn't matter what they give. Hallelujah. Because they had no faith. They didn't see God in their giving. They saw, they brought attention to themselves. Yeah? So he said, that's your reward. But whenever you do anything unto the Lord, in the faith that God sees what you are doing, and he will reward you. He will repay you. Hallelujah. He will repay you. Hallelujah. If you are being cheated, if you are being manipulated, still do good. As unto the Lord. Hallelujah. He will repay. Then, he will repay them. If they don't repent. And you can pray it. But before you pray, first declare your forgiveness. Hallelujah. Don't pray for vengeance without forgiving. Because the flesh will take over. And you just wish that they should die. Hallelujah. But Bible says that God is not willing that anybody should perish. Not even your worst enemy. Do you know that? Even your worst enemy. God is not willing that they should what? Perish. Nobody. God is not willing that anybody should perish. But that all should come to repentance. That's why when people say, how can a loving God say something? They don't know what they are saying. They don't know God. God is not the one sending anybody to hell. They are going to hell because they rejected him. Hallelujah. When people reject God from their life, they are committing the greatest sin. To say you as a creation, you don't need your creator in your life, is a terrible sin. It's not God. God is not willing that anybody should perish. But when I don't understand it. I don't know about you. But I don't understand how somebody can live their life, keep God out of their life, then expect to go to heaven. Who is the owner of heaven? Who made heaven? I don't understand when I read it in the news and people say, you know, I hope you're in a better place. How can you be in a better place? Who made it? Please understand what I'm trying to say. You know, I think some things, you know, during the break, news item about three British Airways crew, you know, that, yeah, and that they had an accident recently. And I'm seeing the comments, you know, and it says, I hope you're in a better place. It's either you believe or you don't. If you don't believe in God, how dare you believe in a better place? Hello? You say you don't believe in God. You don't believe in Jesus. But you believe in a better place. Who created it? The devil? Praise the Lord. See, that's where the sin is. The sin, the reason why people go to hell is because they put God out. You see, in Revelation, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's we have 5 minutes. Let's try to finish the sermon on this note. But before then, okay, see, no service, no devotion, no repentance, little or no low attendance at church meetings, no tithing, no giving, no submission. You can't listen to anybody. You believe you are bigger than everybody. Nobody can talk to you. Yeah? And you're a believer, you must be sleeping. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, Ephesians 5:21, we read it earlier. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So one of the signs that a Christian is alert is that they are submissive. Including the pastor. That means that even I'm the pastor, but I'm able to listen. Amen? If I'm a pastor and I can't listen to anybody, then I have a spiritual problem myself. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's open one place in the Bible and then I'll ask one more question. We'll finish in 5 minutes or so. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. First of all, let's look at verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21. Yes? Are you there? Let me get my Ephesians 5 and 21. Actually, no. Let's just read it. Ephesians 5 from 14 to 21. I'll be pausing you from time to time. Ephesians 5, 14 to 21. That's the last place we're going to open to. And then we take a question and then we finish. Yes, Ephesians 5, 14 to 21.
It says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest.
Awake, oh sleeper. Can you talk to your neighbor? Look at them. Say, awake. Check out if they are yawning. Say, awake, O sleeper. Continue.
And arise from the dead.
Arise from the dead. There's a connection between sleeping and dying.
And Christ shall
I'm talking of spiritually, not physically. Spiritually. Yes, continue, please.
And Christ shall give thee light.
Amen. Continue.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
That is, if I am not living my life carefully, purposefully, intentionally, yeah, I am being foolish. I am sleeping. I must live my life purposefully, intentionally, carefully. I must make choices. I can't just allow choices to make me. I must make the choices that honor God. Please continue. Ephesians 5, we have.
Redeeming, verse 15 now. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Yes, I must, my time, yeah? If I allow my time just to go like that, and I don't prioritize time and allocate it for God, yeah? It will not happen by itself. I must decide and say, this is what I want to do with my time. Please continue.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of Lord is.
You know, one day God opened my eyes to that scripture and said that any time I don't know what God's will is, I am being unwise. You have a responsibility as a believer to know the will of God. Even in your prayer. That's why if you're praying and all you're praying is, Father, if it be thy will, do it. It's an unwise prayer. You need to take time, search the word of God, come in with God until you know that what you're asking God for is what? Is within his will. Then your faith can work. Continue, please.
And be not drunk with wine.
Stay away from meat even. I'm not, when you talk about the wine, I'm not talking about grape juice. I'm talking about alcohol. Alcohol is the problem, not the wine. The wine itself is not the problem. It's the alcohol, it's the hard drug in it. Remove the hard drug. There's no problem. It's just a product of the harvest. Whether grape or apple or barley or wheat. These are all food items. It's the hard drug you should remove. Then you can drink as much as you like. Because you will not get drunk. Does it make sense? Please continue.
Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns. And spiritual songs.
See, that's what I see there, as we say that, is fellowship. Fellowship. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will be where? In fellowship. And you say, hallelujah. What do we do in the house of the Lord? You're going to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to edify each other. We're going to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Please continue.
singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And I also want to say, this is on my list. One of the proof that a believer is sleeping is when they are unthankful. Let me explain that for you to understand. See, when you are ungrateful and unthankful, you take God for granted. You know, we talk about priority. Taking God, you know, when you don't prioritize God, it means you are taking it for granted, isn't it? See, when a believer who is not thankful, yeah, it's an attitude that overall you will take things for granted. And I'm telling you, if you take things for granted, you are likely to take God for what? For granted. But when you are thankful, yeah, it helps you to be humble. Well, when you are thankful, it helps you to, you don't overestimate yourself. You understand that who you are and where you are, you received it. It affects the way you treat other people when you're thankful. You are putting God in the perspective. We must put God in the perspective. Even when your business is now reaching tens of thousands, you must still put God where? When you see, anytime God is in the perspective, you'll be thankful. Anytime God is out of perspective, you'll be unthankful. You say, instead of saying, you deserve it, what will you be singing? I deserve it. You don't deserve nothing. Hallelujah. All you have received. And the only way you can react is to use it for His glory and give Him the glory. Amen. Please continue. 21. Please listen to that. Please use the mic. So,
submitting yourself one to another.
Submitting yourself one to another
in the fear of God.
In the fear of God. Okay, I'll take that and ask the question. Then we finish. I wanted to emphasize that point because I think it's not been taught enough. That last line. You see, part of being alive spiritually is the ability to submit to each other in the fear of God. What it means is this: God can use Sister Amanda to speak to me. And I'm a pastor. God can use Sister Pamela to speak to Sister or Brother G. Give him a message that we give him the breakthrough. That's how the body of Christ works. So, the issue of arrogance is not part of the body. An arrogant believer is sleeping. You know why? They can't hear from God. When you're arrogant, you may keep telling me that God is speaking to you. You are not hearing. Because it takes humility to hear. So being submissive is important. Hallelujah. Being submissive is what? Important. It means we can hear. Someone say, I'm not hearing from God. Check your attitude. Amen? Okay. So lastly, let me just ask this question. And then we finish. Quick one. I'm not going to take too many answers. Maybe like 3-4 answers. How can a sleeping believer wake up? Someone has been sleeping, or you realize today now that you are sleeping. How can you wake up? Quick.
Attending to fellowship.
Start attending church meetings more regularly. It doesn't get, it's not that complicated. Just start. You are on your way to waking up. Yes. And don't book. You know, don't book for activities during church time. Don't take your children to activities during church time. Many of these activities, they will perish with this life. Some of them, even before the children grow up, they are not doing it again. Hallelujah. Put God first. Not negotiable. Praise the Lord. Yes?
First of all, repent. And
repent! You know, it takes humility to repent. Say, Lord, I missed it. Don't think about your age or about your status or your qualification or about your swagger. Yeah? Don't think that you have the swagger. You must repent. Amen? Hallelujah. Because you're, compared to God, you are just a little child. Amen? Yes? How can a sleeping believer wake up? Quick, some answers.
By prioritizing the things of God.
Sorry?
Prioritizing.
Start prioritizing things of God. It starts with attendance. But there's much more than that. Yes? Right. I'll come back. Okay. This is first.
Coming on constant fellowship.
Fellowship! You need fellowship. Say, I need fellowship to survive as a believer. Just like you need food and drink to survive as a human being, you need fellowship to survive as a believer. Anytime you're out of fellowship, you're going down spiritually. Yes. Men after.
Excuse me. So just certain alert when maybe naturally you don't remember maybe to have that quiet time or to pray. So just setting reminders maybe on your phone.
Yes. Set alarm, set reminder. How can we apply that spiritually? You know? How do you apply setting alarm? You know, in the physical, if you are sleeping and you want to wake up, you set an alarm. So how can we translate that spiritually? What does setting alarm spiritually mean? Anybody help me? Sorry? Planning? Yeah, any other one? What can alarm you? Let's assume you're sleeping and something just add. Yeah? Awareness, where you go, I know, but any other. I'm just looking for something that can quickly wake you up, like.
If you see that.
But you don't control the signs. Do you?
Feeding on the word of God.
Yes, that's part of communion and fellowship. I'm just really thinking, what is alarm? what's be like the spiritual alarm?
You can set an alarm by maybe talking to your pastor and entering a prayer meeting group so that they can call.
Yes. Yeah, give me an idea. Any other person, alarm? That's an idea. I will develop it now.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yes. Any other one? Meditation, yes. Okay. The part I'll take that. So basically, if you can't help yourself, find somebody who can help you. Imagine someone come to me and say, Pastor, I've decided this year that at least 75% of the time I will be in church. Anytime I'm not in church, call me. Now you give them the right and the license. So now when they call you, remember that you give them the right. You set an alarm for yourself. Can you see? Just some examples of that. Yes? Yes, any other way to wake up? If you are a believer that is sleeping, what can they do to wake up? Yes, worship, fellowship, communion. I still put them together. Any other one? Okay, let me. Time has gone. Time is gone completely, so we need to finish. So let me see if there's anything I have on my list. Repentance, humility and obedience, abstinence. I tell you, we overindulge in many things. You need to learn to cut some things off your life. You know, if you are sleeping as a believer, you have some bad influence in your life, whether you like it or not. Cut your bad influences. You can't keep them and you will stop sleeping. Yeah? Some of the influences may be what you watch, what you read, what you listen to, or some friends. Yeah? You can't keep them and wake up. You need to identify, oh, this person is not helping me spiritually. Cut them out of your life. The Bible says, if your right hand is offending you, what do you do? If your right eye is offending you, what do you do? You know, when I was a younger Christian, it used to confuse me. I knew very well that it didn't mean I should cut my hand or my eye. But, you know, now I understand it very well. Look, your right hand is very important. It's the hand you depend on mostly. And your right eye is what you depend on mostly. But it's telling you that once it becomes a bad influence in your life, yeah, cut it off. So what it means simply is not cut. Don't cut your right hand or your right eye. But there are things in your life that you can cut off. There are friends in your life that you can cut out. There are subscriptions you made that you can cancel. There are activities you signed up to that you can cancel. But many times you feel, I can't cancel it. There are some bills you are paying you can cancel. You say, because I have to. It's because of this bill. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's. I think we just leave it there. Now, let me see if I said it. Yes, fasting and praying is good. You know, don't just. I always say, why are you always. You're only fasting and praying because you need a breakthrough. Why don't you fast and pray so that you will stop being sleeping? That you know God better. Why don't you start praying about God? I want to love you more. I want to know you more. Is it better fasting than praying? Hallelujah. If you know God better, yeah, you will need to fast and pray for a breakthrough. You will know what to do. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's rise up and finish there. So, you know, this year is a year of awakening. And it's a good thing. Anytime you're awake, you'll be more fruitful. You'll be more productive. More effective. And there's no way, there's no one who is fruitful that will not enter breakthrough and miracles. Hallelujah. That's the real life. I thank God the day, you know, my Christian life changed from attending church. Hallelujah. It's about loving God and serving God. Hallelujah. You enjoy it. You are productive. You are influencing lives in the right direction. You are no longer a consumer alone. You are a producer. Amen. That's where God wants you to be. Pray to God and say, Father, in this year 2020, I wake up. I wake up in my relationship with you. I wake up in my devotion to you. I wake up in my service of you. Nobody ever got to heaven and wish they made more money on earth. Nobody ever got to heaven and wish that, you know, they had more fame on earth. No. Anybody who got to heaven, they're always thinking, oh, I wish I served God better. Oh, I wish that I allowed God to use me more. Oh, I wish that I gave more to touch lives. Oh, I wish I obeyed God more. That's what people always think. Oh, I wish I had more compassion. That is what you need. That's the values of your life. So today says, Father, I wake up. I wake up. I arise from sleep. I arise from spiritual darkness. I yield myself to being active for the Lord. I yield myself to being alert. I yield myself to give quality service to the Lord. In 2020, I yield myself to humility and obedience to the word and to the spirit. I choose to be fruitful. I choose to be productive. I don't want to be left out when the Lord comes for the, when the day of reckoning comes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God.